Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW here in Las Vegas, the future stars of wrestling, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, boy man, this past Saturday you had a little bit of a post-Valentine's Day massacre on the 15th, and got a lot of stuff going on, getting ready for No Escape now that everything seems to be set up.
Yeah, we're all set. We got 7 matches on the card, and they are all out there. You know, I ordered the steel cage today, and we got confirmation that we will finally, after all these years, actually have a real steel cage door. So we had it last year.
It's the right size this time, right?
Yeah, we had it last year. And despite me telling them it needed to start 3 feet up, they started it on the ground. So it was really fun to see Big Duke Lawrence try to get in that little 2 foot spot, you know, as the cage. So now they started at 3 feet up. They, you know, sent me the pictures of how it needed to be. So, you know, hopefully we can actually have a real door.
It's not going to be a Stonehenge incident where you're going to have a cage that's big enough to go around like the Spinal Tap did with the Stonehenge.
No, we should be fine on this one.
A lot of big stuff going on. First off, Valentine's Day Massacre. You know, what were your final thoughts on how everything came off? Because you had some setups for No Escape, and you know, pretty exciting stuff, especially with Bad Guy Tito joining the ranks of Danny Limelight, which is very interesting.
Well, yeah, you know, I've been a fan of Tito since we first brought him in 10, 12 years ago. So that issues, it finally came to a head. You know, we knew it was going to be part of the main event that, you know, Danny got jumped in Houston at Booker's show. And, you know, Danny was smart. He kept it close to the vest. So when all parties got banned for the main event with Braxton, who did quite well for himself in that match also, you know, Tito kind of tilted the scales a little bit. And if you look at the team, Lights, Camera, Faction, you know, if you want to put Limelight and Ice, it's kind of a toss-up. You know, Reese is young. Nino's back from injury. You look at the Faction, man for man, they kind of have the advantage in that situation. It's 4-on-3 to begin with. And, you know, what they may bring to the table is the fact that they've been a tight fit unit for many years. So Danny knew he had to go out there and he had to hit a home run. You know, he couldn't hit a double. He had to go out there. And Danny's got friends, you know. It could have been a Tom Lawler, but I know he's banged up. And, you know, he got, like they say in the draft, you know, he drafted the best player on the board.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, who is Danny going to recruit? And you look around and you see people. Hey, maybe a Gregory Sharp, I guess, you know. But I know they've had their issues in the past. But who's an upper echelon guy not involved in something that, you know, this might be? Hey, do you want to try to recruit a Hero Lou who was part of the MK Army? Maybe a Duke Lawrence. But obviously they have other plans. You know, those are guys that would basically fit hired guns.
Sure.
But Tito and Limelight go back to, you know, the SoCal days and running up and down SoCal. And Tito is very familiar with everything that we do here in FSW. So, you know, kudos, you know. It's funny because I had a conversation with Limelight, and it was like, you know, probably a month or two ago. And it was like, yeah, I'm looking to bring, you know, maybe Tito and Che back. And, you know, Tito, you know, he worked the Rumble and things like that. And, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, Tito's great. You know, Tito would be awesome. I'm like, hey, you know, Tito versus Limelight would be, you know, a big time match. You know, and maybe that was the precursor to Limelight reaching out to Tito and say, hey, this is what we got going on. And we need a guy.
Yeah, I better get you on my side before that match where you're going against me for the championship. No.
Absolutely. So, you know, War Games style, two guys start, and now they got the advantage. And, you know, that's the perfect spot where I could see, you know, two guys start, and when they get the advantage, Limelight being the third guy, just so he can get that two-on-one, whether it's on, you know, Ice or Braxton or Fresco or Watson, you know, and then they're going to get those 2 minutes to kind of be in a handicap match situation. So, you know, right. We're trying to do that War Games the traditional way. You got to win by, you know, you either quit or you submit.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be a war. So that's, you know, by far the headlining match. Three steel cage matches. We kind of made that the tradition.
Right.
And, you know, the women's title, they're going to have a lot to, you know, push toward. Because last year, Viva and Maserati. Oh, no, that was the year before.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago now.
That was 2 years ago. So you're going to have to live up to that match. You know, that was probably the best steel cage women's match I've ever seen. Like, I'm not saying an FSW. I'm saying I've ever seen. That was a bloody mess.
And an oops-a-daisy made that happen.
You know, and then we got the tag team titles on the line. The makeshift chemistry, sky high. You know, they went from being mentors to friends to bitter enemies. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, we got that new edge from Sky High, who from day one, they have been, you know, one of the most popular tag teams in FSW. And it took them a long time, and then they finally got the titles. And, you know, Makeshift Chemistry made some comments. You know, what took Sky High 6 years took them one. You know, maybe some of the things you taught us was great, but we kind of surpassed you already. And Sky High, you know, takes offense to it. So the thing about the steel cage match is sometimes you're just trying to get steel cage matches and, hey, we'll do this and we'll do a escape the cage scramble because it doesn't really have any story behind it and you're trying to just have some cool matches. Well, right. These are cool matches that have all personal situations with right. Alice Blair and Gypsy Mac, from Andrew Delgado and Bateman taking out Gypsy.
Right.
You know, over the last year from last No Escape, when Dante and Damian Drake, we come full circle on this one.
Right.
Dante King may have had the match won, but because of Gypsy and the threats from Damian Drake, Dante King quit in the I Quit match. Right. So now we're going to settle it in a DLC, Doors, Ladders, and Chairs, for the No Limits Championship.
Price of doors go up this year?
I got to go hit up Habitat for Humanity across from Boulder Station. They've always had pretty good pricing on it. So we're going to have to grab the mariachis and take a run with their truck.
There's a joke in there somewhere about cheap labor. I just don't know what it is.
Well, you know, if you want to go there, you know, there's a lot of movements around that I have to kind of slip and slide through. So, but right there, so that's four matches.
Yeah.
That there is intense hatred.
Yeah.
On all sides. And then you got Jay Vidal and Bateman, and that's just starting to become a personal battle between right. these two.
Right. And then on top of that, you have a Nevada State Championship match in which Matt is literally going against his biggest challenge probably that he's ever had. I don't know if Matt's ever wrestled anyone that big.
I don't believe he has. And Duke Lawrence was scheduled to wrestle, but he had an incident this past weekend. And as MK said, he kind of tweaked his neck a little bit and had a contusion. And it was recommended that he take the night off. But as MK said, you should see the other 11 guys. So, you know, that's going to be an interesting matchup because this one kind of came out of nowhere. You know, MK's been talking about Duke being a champion, and we didn't realize he was going to be wanting to go after Matt Vandergriff. And, you know, Matt's a guy who, from day one, has never shied away from a challenge.
Right.
You know, he wanted TJP when we did the show back after, you know, being closed down from the pandemic. You know, right. he's, hey, who's got Strickland at the Chris Bay show? You know, he wants the best of the best. He wants to go out and he wants to show everybody that he is as good or better than whatever top name we're bringing in. Give him Morrison. Give him Cross. You know, give him whoever. He yeah. wants the best of the best. So, big Duke Lawrence isn't big Duke Lawrence for... He's close to 400 pounds.
Yeah. He's a mountain. It's amazing. And
you know, so, I'll tell you what, man... That is a big challenge. I'm going to be really interested to see that one. And then we got a scramble that, you know, got to get the scramble going. You know, sure. How do we not have Sharp on the show? How do we not have Bodie on the show? You know, JKM's been very impressive. Bryce Saturn and Damian Desire, those guys had a great match with the faction.
Yeah.
You yes. know, Bryce Saturn is a guy who can win the Nevada State Championship, almost did, yeah. almost won the No Limits Championship. They could win the Tag Team Championship. You know, he's a guy that, you know, to me, it's like that breakout star. Who's going to, like, to me, he's the breakout star of 2025 because he's already proven that he's quickly risen the ranks.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's the top talent. Damian Desire, he was out for a couple months, but he had made some big strides over, you know, 6 months ago when he started working full time here.
Yeah.
And of course, Remy Marcel, you know. So that card is going to be seven matches. We got the cage. We're not going to go to eight. We don't want to go to 4 hours. We'll save that for the Chris Bay benefit show.
Sure.
You know. Cage hit me up yesterday. It was like, hey, any idea on the matches? I'm like, fuck no. I got no idea. I'm like, I have no clue where we're going yet. Kind of got some ideas. You know, Ace Austin's pitching for Morrison. You know, I said I was talking to Chris yesterday. And he was, oh, that'd be a great match. But I'm like, I'd like to see Swan in there too. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, we just got Swan. We just got yeah. Zachary Wentz. So, you know, maybe the Rascals get a match. Who are they going to wrestle? I don't know. One night only. You know, every year or two, we do the one night only. Sam Adonis.
Yep.
So, you know, look at that list. Kenny King, who's he working? Ice Williams, who's he working? Brian Cage, Shane Strickland, Rhino. You know, with Trey Miguel, hey, we could put them in a, you know, a tag, six-man, yeah, the TNA stars. You know, I'm keeping it quiet, but so far nobody has said, hey, the guy from this company can't work the guy from that company.
Right.
So
just wait until March 23rd, Joe.
Yeah, you know, and then we can make, you know, it could be like a lethal lottery. We draw it out of the hat. Oh, my. Shane Strickland's wrestling a TNA guy. Hey, Brian Cage, he's going to wrestle a TNA guy. You never know.
And you know that hat got fixed, and all of a sudden it's Shane Strickland versus Ricky Tenacious and John Morrison versus Ricky Tenacious. And I got a feeling that someone might get into that their wheel and just load it with Ricky Tenacious.
Well, now that you mentioned that, I'll make sure I double check. So, but yeah, the main issue is going to be getting all the people deserving of a match, because like for the FSW crew, like, okay, well, you know, Ice Williams, good friend of Chris Bay, is going to be, got to be on the show. Yeah. Kenny King's got to be on the show. And there's numerous others.
Like Danny Limelight right here.
Got to be on the show. You know?
And look, Danny, you know, Danny just posted this today. 800 days today as the United Wrestling Network champion and 240 as the FSW champion. So
I'll be safe to say that Danny Limelight has defended the FSW championship more in the 240 days. I'm just gonna pop that out.
You, if anything, the United Network was front loaded. So meaning those first maybe 300 days, he probably defended him more. But I know Dave has, you know, had fewer TV tapings, shall we say, over the last 2 years.
Yeah, so. I'm pretty sure they got one coming up. I saw Danny actually going to wrestle. Ice Williams is on the show. Kenny King's on the show.
I think Danny's actually wrestling Kenny King on that one.
There you go. And Ace Austin is going to be on the one. There's one after the Chris Bay benefit show that I know Ace Austin's working.
So. Right. So,
Dave's got a new dog now, so he's not going to be watching the podcast. So,
but you know, it is pretty remarkable in the sense that, again, first off, the best thing about hopefully is that there won't be any conflict because the egos don't matter here in terms of the companies. This is strictly for Chris. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and of course, TNA is fully on board. Talk to Johnny Bravo. Right. You know, as he said to me, I'll make sure I get the merch to give away to Ace Austin because he's the responsible one. So, which is kind of crazy based off Ace Austin's first character who kind of came in with the benefit of your guy, Glenn King, and his friends.
Right. Yes.
You know, back at Samstown, they tried that that storyline character.
Yep.
Wasn't the biggest hit.
No, but you know what? Isn't it remarkable how some of those introductory characters, again, and we've talked about this in the past, when, you know, it just gets that your ears wet behind, you know, just kind of gets you the green off of you. And look at how far Ace has come in terms of building now. When Ace went to the ring, I think it was this past week or the week before, you just look at him and you go, and this was the same thing what Chris has been doing the last couple of years. Man, these guys are professional wrestlers now. You know,
yeah. Remember they hit a certain spot, and that's how it is. And I always used to say the same thing when Sean Ricker transformed into Eli Knight, Eli Drake, yeah. Not the Culture Inc. guy. He didn't transfer into the Culture Inc. guy. But I remember when Sean left us, won the title, lost the title 2 weeks later in WWE, in developmental, things didn't work out. 8-9 months later, he came back, and his first match, he wrestled Kenny King. And at that point, he was now Slate Randall, which he kept the gear, which was smart because he had the same initials, SR.
Right.
So he came out, and it was just like a guy who was in really, really good shape was now in great shape. A guy who had really good gear had major league gear. I always look at that. I see certain people that, you know, there was times and you see, you know, independent wrestlers and it's like, they get it. Look at that gear. They spare no expense. Chris Bay went from a guy who would try to put shit together to all of a sudden it's like, this guy had some of the best gear in the game. Yeah. It's like, man, it was as top notch as it could be. And that was when I knew, and it was like, even though he failed that first stint in WWE, that the future was still bright. And then a few months later, he got signed by TNA. He started rising the ranks. He did some stuff with Steiner. He did some stuff with Masters. And then he kind of stood alone, and they made him the Impact Wrestling Champion. And we joked because it was kind of like a legacy. You had Cage, he became the Impact Champion. You had, you know, Eli Drake, he became the Impact Champion. Well, we're waiting for Cross to become the Impact Champion. You know, Morrison went from the Mecha Champion, he was the Impact Champion. And it was, you know, like, hey, I guess I know how to pick them because those guys have had that success. Hammerstone became an MLW champion. Yeah. And it's like, it's like, even though these guys, you knew that they were destined for something bigger, but as good as they were, I could almost pinpoint a moment where I saw them and it was like, yeah, they are there. Now they just need that call.
Right.
You know, and it's like, as good as you are, you know, the term indie-rific, it's like in AAA baseball when that guy's too good for AAA, but when he goes to the major leagues, he just can't cut it. They like to say he's a 4A player.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys stuck in that 4A that they're way better than what they are in the independents, and they struggle and they never make it and they're done. And that usually ends their career.
Yeah.
Because they get released by the major company and then they can't really bounce back. They're frustrated. They made their money for a short period of time. And then they see what it's like for the grind on the independent wrestling scene. And then you see a lot of those guys no longer in the business. So it's getting over that hump where we looked at LA Knight like, fuck, he's got this gimmick with Emmett, with Mansoor and the other one, the Mal Models, and he's going to be he's too old to wrestle and he's going to be a manager, which we know he could talk better than pretty much everybody. Right. But the problem is when you're a manager of losers, you're a loser.
Right.
So there's only a short shelf life. How long would Jimmy Hart have been a Hall of Famer if he didn't manage all these tag team champions and the Hart Foundation and everybody that he managed? Or would he be like Bruno Whippleman or Harvey Whippleman, Bruno, where, you know, they didn't win, you know? So the longevity isn't there because not only are you not good enough to win? You have a manager and you're still not able to win. So he's not even good enough to help you. So right. I thought the writing was on the wall for LA Knight to where he was never going to get that opportunity. And then he got the opportunity against Bray Wyatt. And thankfully, even though he was fodder for the return of Bray Wyatt, they actually gave him a microphone.
Yeah.
Which, not something that they're going to do all the time. It's like, look at Cross now. You know, he ain't wrestling, but he's on and he's interesting. And now all the people who used to shit on him are interested in seeing what's going on. It's still a little weird to me because it happened with the New Day. They broke up, but he was long gone. It happened with The Miz. He kind of turned, but he was gone. When he first started, it was Drew. And it was like he's always been in those spots. And now it's with Sami Zayn, but it isn't Sami Zayn against Cross. It's Sami Zayn against Owens.
Yeah.
So it's like, where does that leave him in the big picture?
Well, and it also says a lot, too, that AOP got their release and, you know, Cross didn't. And
it took them how long to say, here, Kevin, you have the microphone and you do your thing. Like, even in NXT, where he did get over, Scarlett did the talking. And she's not a talker. Like, we knew what Kevin can do on a microphone.
Right.
You know, as I said, he reminds me a lot of that, the Sean O'Hare, you know, devil on your shoulder.
Right.
Type character. And I love that. But it was out of the box. You know, Kevin comes in and he makes valid points. You know, in a lot of situations, the heel doesn't make valid points.
Right.
You know, but it works when it does. When CM Punk, as a heel, is burying Jeff Hardy as the babyface and the drugs and the issues, he's 1,000% right. But Jeff Hardy is so beloved that CM Punk is the most hated motherfucker in the world because he's bringing it up to you. How dare you say that about our hero?
Which, you know, that's a great... you're seeing the struggle with it in AEW with MJF right now, because MJF is heads and shoulders better on the mic than almost anyone else in that company. That he tries the heel tactics. They're trying to make him a heel. And yet everything he says is so validated. And no one is so beloved.
Well, that's the issue. If somebody was beloved, they would hate him.
Right.
But there's nobody there. And Moxley's done a good job of getting the fans to hate him. Because he was a guy that was beloved.
Right.
MJF was the guy that he's the heel, but we want to cheer him because he's so fucking entertaining. It happened with The Rock. You know, they pushed him down the throat. Everybody hated him. Then he became The Rock. And then everybody's catchphrasing. Everybody's chanting. But he's wrestling Austin, so everybody's still going to boo him during the match. Same thing we had with Ricker when in LA Knight. He would cut his promo. Everybody would shut the fuck up because his promos were great. But then he would wrestle a babyface and a wrestler, Remy Marcel, or whoever was over at the time. And people would still boo him.
Yeah.
Until we said, hey, how about you cut this promo on the heel? And now everybody loves him. So it's the same thing with the MJF situation. And it's like, well, I guess, is Edge a heel there now again? I don't know.
No, he's a face right now because Moxley took.
Oh, yeah. So, but again, it's like, there's nobody, as you said. Strickland was fire for a little while. And then they kind of cooled him down. And the same thing, MJF is kind of in that upper mid-card mode. You know, Okada is a mid-card guy. Like, the fanfare. And again, that's what happens. Not any other reason than you have way too many guys that you're trying to push. So instead of building people up, it brings everybody down.
Right.
And that's the most difficult situation. It's like, right. If you go look at WWE, they're in a tough spot. It's like, well, they want Damian Priest to be a top guy. But CM Punk's there, and he's going to be a top guy.
Right.
And Seth Rollins is a top guy. Right. They're trying to make Gunther a top guy, and I love his promos, and he's another one. What he says is true as fuck. But he's so condescending, and he's getting more heat now than he has been in the last couple months. The first part of his "I'm the champion, I'm better than you" didn't really play out. But with Seth Rollins, I'm digging it. I'm loving what he has to say. But it's like, the thing is, and you got Jey Uso, and they're pushing him, and it's like, well, Jey Uso loses to Drew one day, now he loses to Gunther, and now he's going to wrestle for the title. And everybody's winning and losing, and now it's like you're bringing people down. You know, usually you go into spots, man, you're on fire. Drew, he wins, he loses, he wins, he loses. He beats Punk, he loses to Zayn, or beats Zayn, he loses to Jay, whatever it is. They got too many guys in that situation that they're trying to make sure they win, but they don't always win.
Right.
So instead of, you know, like, Jay's gotten this huge push, but I could talk about two or three matches he's lost,
right,
which is usually weird for the guy who's going into Mania to get the title. You know, the only one who I've grown very tired of, you know, in my opinion, I was never the hugest fan anyways, Cody Rhodes. It's like, what's he doing at Mania? It's almost like, who cares? Nothing's really been built up.
Well, we won't know until the Elimination Chamber ends,
I guess. So. And then it's like, okay. And that match is more interesting than any other match, because you got Cena in it. Are they going to want to put him in the main event? You got CM Punk in it. You know, the thing about the Elimination Chamber is also, I believe it's five guys, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Four guys have to be pinned.
Six guys.
So five people have to be pinned in that match.
Yep.
Okay, so where's the momentum if John Cena gets pinned? Where's the momentum for CM Punk if he gets pinned? Pretty sure Logan Paul's getting pinned. I can't see him getting in that spot. Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, we've seen it over and over. Even in that situation, despite having the fucking torn pec or whatever he had, they still couldn't let the returning Cody Rhodes lose to Seth Rollins when he was going to leave for 9 months. And Seth had a rebound back from losing like three straight matches. It's the same thing with Kevin Owens. So now Kevin Owens is hot. He just lost. Like, how many times did we have to watch him in a pay-per-view versus Cody Rhodes? He lost, and then he lost, and then he got another shot, and he lost. It's like,
but now that's a question. As someone who is coming up with ideas and stories and how to tell. One interesting thing is I like this idea that we're going to touch on Sammy and Kevin in Canada.
Been there, done that. But okay.
Yeah, but the idea that you add that element of where Kevin is coming from, and that is, this whole thing has been this sore loser. You're not helping me. You're helping other people.
Right. And, yeah, the bloodline. Yeah, he's another one. Every point he's making is accurate.
It's accurate. And it to me, I love this play idea of, now Sammy's in a hospital bed going, you know what? I was out there and I was doing, and you're blaming me for not stopping him to do this, but yet you didn't want me to stop him from doing. And it just that element of storytelling, that it's just a little piece. It just then to me, as a fan, as a viewer, justifies seeing that match a little bit more, because we still don't know what the end game is. And we also now have one small layer that's been added to the reason why this match actually means something, because now it's personal. And I mean, is those the kind of things that when you're sitting down going, okay, our fans have probably seen this matchup between X and Y a couple times over the last 2 years. What can we do to elevate it so that the fans all of a sudden can reinvest into this and go, oh, okay, all right, now, you know what, I do want to see, you know, we're seeing it in the blow off, hopefully what I'm assuming is going to be the blow off with Dante and Damian Drake, right? That's been almost, you know, a year of storytelling to get.
Well, yeah, more than that, because we thought it culminated last year at No Escape. So that was 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
But you also see that once it was done, it didn't get revisited to 8-9 months later.
Right.
You know, my thing is, it's like, if Zayn doesn't turn heel, what ends up being accomplished out of that? But by him turning heel, he's got to screw somebody over. Does he screw over Jey Uso?
Right.
Does he screw over Roman Reigns? It's like, so now you got Solo Sikoa back. You got Jacob Fatu on the rise. What's happening there? Who's Reigns wrestling?
And it looks like we
is
might
Reigns
be.
In the going to be in the Elimination Chamber?
I don't think so. I don't think that's been announced yet. I don't
see that
know.
Would be weird to me. So he's another. So WWE's done a great job. Back in the day, you'd have three people that might be like, okay, I could see that guy as the champion.
Right.
Now you can see 15 guys. Now, I don't think Sami Zayn is a heavyweight champion. I don't think Jey Uso is a heavyweight champion. Like, I think Drew McIntyre is. I think Seth Rollins is. I think Punk is. I think Reigns is. Jacob isn't ready to be that. You know, Solo, I don't believe, is ready to be that.
Right.
I don't think Logan Paul's ready to be that. But Damian Priest, they've put him in that situation. AJ Styles has to be rebuilt to be back that position. AJ Styles was the hated heel, feuding with Cody Rhodes, you know, being a little brat. They switched brands. Now he's the lovable AJ Styles again. Well, AJ Styles is phenomenal, and AJ Styles has been a heavyweight champion. But he has to now be put in a situation, so he's not going to be a champion. But you do have 6 or 7 people. Gunther, they built him up to be that guy. They made Priest the champ for a while, and he's doing great work. But they made him a star. They helped make Jey Uso a star. You know, everybody like, oh, Jey Uso. Well, WWE had to do something right to make Jey Uso that guy. He wasn't miraculously, hey, we want to root for him and it's fucked up, he ain't going to be the champ. It's like, no, they put him in those situations where he was strong. Right. And man, he took Reigns to the limit when he did get that shot. And they made people want to believe in Jey Uso like they did in Sami Zayn. Which at one point, if he would have beat Reigns, they built him up. You know what I mean? LA Knight is a better guy to be a heavyweight champion than, say, a Logan Paul. Even though Logan Paul is really good, people hate him, and he could be, but he's not going to be around enough and all the other stuff. But like, even though you wouldn't have LA Knight maybe beat Jacob Fatu, I would say LA Knight's ready to be a heavyweight champion before, because the crowd wants to get behind him. His matches are good enough, but he can engage you on the microphone. And John Cena is a guy who could be a heavyweight champion again. If The Rock showed up again, nobody would be shocked if The Rock was a heavyweight champion.
Right.
So it's like you have these, you know, pockets of guys, and thankfully it's in two brands, because you're talking 10 guys. There's legitimately, you know, usually when you go, hey, here's our top 10, and you look at number 7, you're like, yeah, that guy's just on there to fill a fucking spot.
Right.
Like, I know when we do our rankings, you know, there's going to – we're an independent company, so we don't have – you know, we have a lot of talent, but we don't have enough talent to have 40 people in the top 10 of the tag division, the No Limits division, the Nevada State division. Now, if we find – can we find 10 guys and say, hey, this is the top 10? And you're like, oh, shit, this is a great top 10.
Yeah.
But – it's never going to be that way, because these guys are going to get it signed. These guys. So when you're in WWE, you're not going anywhere. And if you go look at the polar opposite of AEW, you can name a bunch of guys, whether it's a Jericho, an MJF, a Cesaro, an Edge, you know, a Strickland. You know, they built that guy up. He was a guy who just came in. Now you got Lashley.
Right.
You know, they can easily put Lashley in a program with a top guy. They build Wardlow up to where he was a guy that legitimately could have been their heavyweight champion. And then for whatever reason, they fucking buried that motherfucker, you know. But then you look at, well, how come Lance Hoyt didn't get that kind of push?
Right.
How come Brian Cage didn't get that kind of push? You know?
Well, you know, but again, it's like, yeah, let's take Cage, and now he's getting a push where it's we're just going to have him lose to guys that we want to give a push to.
Right. It was like right. I would always joke. I'm like, who are you beating this week so you can lose to Orange Cassidy or Hook next week?
Right.
Like that's what they'd literally do. You wouldn't see Cage for 6 months. He'd go out and win like 2-3 squash matches. And it's like, oh, they're getting him ready. Next week, Orange Cassidy defends against Brian Cage or Lance Hoyt, which they did.
Right.
And it was their job to put him over.
Right.
And it's like, wow, man, you guys might be missing the boat on some of this.
But, you know, and that's the funny thing, too, I think, about fans, right, fandom, is that one of the things that guys like Brian and guys like Lance don't get enough credit for is the fact that these guys are such professionals and love wrestling so much that they do what they're asked to do. And, you know, you don't see them going around and throwing fits or mudslinging like, you know, certain people out there have done in the past to, you know, put themselves over. Mercedes Moné, great example of someone, you know, who really thinks highly of herself. But it's like, but if you asked what, you know, if you do what you're asked to do, man, to me, Brian is more entertaining. Lance is more entertaining to watch, even though they might not be winning or progressing, you know, in a storyline. They're that cog that to me, it makes wrestling enjoyable because they love what they do. And, you know, given good, better, or different stories, they still go out there and accomplish what they need to accomplish. And it's just, that's what to me makes it, it makes these guys like the most valuable people on your roster. Look at Chad Gable in WWE. I mean, holy shit, that guy is so fucking valuable, man. It's amazing what he's doing.
You know, I'll tell you something, and that's what makes me and maybe a lot of people not understand AEW. They took a guy like Wardlow, nobody knew, and it was like, wow, here's this big dude, but a guy like Lance or a guy like Brian Cage. The polar opposites are Wardlow and a guy like Will Hobbs. And, you know, Cage was always ahead of Will. on the independent scene, everything. We used both, obviously. Brian Cage was my champion. Brian Cage was my IWF champion when we did huge shows with all big name guys, and he beat Drew McIntyre for the final pin to win that title. And Will Hobbs was a homegrown talent. Wardlow was a homegrown talent. Nobody in the world knew who the fuck Ricky Starks was till he went to AEW. They put him in a position, and he continually excelled. MJF was a guy. He was in MLW. He was part of a group with Hammerstone. They were just part of a group. He wasn't like, oh, my God, this MJF guy, people liked him. He was a young, up-and-coming guy. They helped make these guys stars. But then whatever happened, to me, it has to be something personal, because now Ricky Stark couldn't be on TV for a year. Right. And they release him. And now he goes, you know, whatever happened between him and Tony Khan, but he still should send that thank you note, because he's getting paid a lot of money, because he wouldn't have got that money going from the NWA to NXT and WWE. Ricky Starks made himself a household name in the wrestling world. MJF made himself a household name to where he demanded big fucking dollars, and I ain't coming back till I get it. And they could say, work, whatever. He was gone. He got his money. He came back. Wardlow's in the same spot. Like, I'm waiting for the release on him.
I think Wardlow is waiting on the release as well.
You know, and here was a guy that I'm like, man, who's this Wardlow dude? They're just like, he's crushing everybody. They're putting a strap. They're putting the rocket on this guy, and then all of a sudden it was like, where the fuck's Wardlow?
And you know what's
really weird?
What's even stranger is when you go to Target right now, you see the wrestling figures, and Wardlow, just within the last 3 weeks, is a figure that has been shipped to all these Targets. Everyone has them. He's got the TNT championship on him. And here's a guy that's been gone off TV. I think he had a run in here in Vegas last year, and that was it. And yet his figure is prominent, and they can't sell the figure, because who wants, you know, it's like, if you dissect this stuff, it makes no sense. It's
crazy. I heard a rumor that Elon Musk is heading over to AEW to eliminate all the waste. And you want to talk about wasted money. How much money did you pay Rusev Miro? Like, I don't understand those stories. Oh, he refused this storyline. And he like, what? So you're telling me this guy keeps cash and checks? It's hard for me to believe. Oh, we don't have anything for you.
Yeah.
What'd you sign him for?
Yeah.
All these guys. There's so many millions of dollars, and that's why it's like, oh, well, they got a great deal, and they're going to be around forever. And it's like, they're going to be around forever because the guy who's funding it has unlimited money, and he obviously loves wrestling, loves being around the wrestlers. So he's going to continue to do this, as we said with Dixie Carter, who did for many, many years, despite them not making money. They're not private. I mean, they're not public, and they're private. So all you hear about is, hey, they signed a deal with TNT for this amount of money, and they make, but it doesn't show what their costs are and how much in the red they are.
Right.
Because it's hard to believe with all that talent, and you've heard the rumors, you know, a Moxley, a Jericho, and now an MJF, an Edge, that these guys are making upwards of $1 million a year. They don't offset it by running 100 house shows. They don't run house shows. They run TV tapings that don't even have, that they've downsized to, you know, arenas that hold a few thousand people.
And you know, and you just said the key thing. Everyone kind of focuses on the arenas because they can't get people in. So being a private company and knowing the business like I know, and knowing entertainment business like I know it, yes, on the face, sure, downsizing because you can't sell tickets, it's a very easy thing to say. On the honest answer is the venues cost way less. We know that. You've dealt with, you know, the pricing in this city, and you know the premiums versus what you can afford, right? 5 years ago, it was off the hook, right? Because you didn't have all those contracts. You didn't have certain things that you do now, that you have to make those decisions. And then it, you know, you have the internet who's debating about what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. But the honest answer is they're adherent to a television deal that at any moment, Warner Brothers can say, you know what, we appreciate you, but our advertising, we're not getting the returns. So therefore, we're canceling Collision, or we're canceling Dynamite, right? So therefore, you have to look at those books and you have to go, that scaled back, that's not necessarily just because we can't get fans in. It's because we don't know how to promote, and we're relying on this TV deal money. It doesn't add up. And then you have the spinster in a Meltzer who's trying to say stuff like, oh, yeah, you know, this Collision in Australia, oh, you know, the big gate, biggest gate, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what are you trying to do here, man? You're lying to people to try to sell this product as something, because the guy who runs it can't promote his own product. It's maddening.
But I'm going to tell you something. Back in the day, AEW could get canceled. Today, it's very rare to have anything on television that somebody watches live. Okay. Right. Cable ratings are high for them. Most things don't get a 500,000. I look at stuff on the, sometimes I look at the ratings and I'll see, hey, CW, and it had, you know, 83,000 viewers.
Right.
Okay. Well, if you're getting 500,000 or 600,000 consistently, they're not canceling you, because I guarantee you that they're the highest rated show on TNT, and they're making sure they're managing what they are spending on it. Ratings Correct. Don't mean as much anymore, but for a live show, that's why you can go and ESPN and Fox and NBC will all air the UFL, formerly XFL, USFL, whatever the fuck they want to call it. And you go
you
look
mean,
at
you mean stand. MK? You mean MK's favorite league?
Yes. So I go watch the UFL. Nothing else is on, so I'm going to watch some football. I don't like it because I know that the 81st quarterback trying out for any sport is in the UFL. You're not getting the 34th best because the starters, the backups, and nobody wants to see the third stringer in a game because he's not that good. So if right. you can't beat out the third stringer, you're in the UFL.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess it's okay because it's like in college where people thought Tim Tebow was good. He wasn't. Right. He's playing inferior teams. Well, it's an inferior product, and the quarterbacks still aren't that good in the UFL. And right. you also know why it ain't that good in the UFL? Because they have a TV deal. They don't care about their live game, as MK right. said. I'm right. like MK. They're only getting X amount of dollars. When I go look, and there's literally 49 people in the fucking stands, I don't care how you want to look at it. Their ratings ain't through the roof. But the fact of the matter is they're giving them money because it's a live sporting event that does decent enough. But I'm pretty sure women's golf, men's golf, women's tennis all draw better than the number one sport in the world. And it isn't football. It's NFL football is the number one. Just like WWE is wrestling. All the rest are just we're all just trying to, you know, get a little, you know, get our little piece.
Right.
But we go the way they go. When WWE is a hot commodity, more people are obviously interested in it. A lot of people you have to get to come to a show. Hey, come check it out. We're the future stars. We train Karrion Kross and we train Solo Sikoa and Zoe Stark and Chris Bay and this and that and the other thing. But it's usually a friend bringing somebody who loves WWE and has no knowledge of everything else. But you have to have a live gate. And I just looked it up. So the Double or Nothing is not happening in Vegas.
Right.
So AEW, who stands tall, they decided to not run because WrestleMania is running a month later or a month earlier. Two different scenarios. I can't see why they wouldn't run in Vegas. To me, that makes no sense. And now they're running at the Virgin. And I looked and it says it's a 4,600 seat capacity compared to 14,000, say, at the MGM. Well, the 4,600 capacity is for a concert where there's a giant stage here and then there are all the seats. Well, at the wrestling show, there's a giant ring that's there. So it's probably going to be set up for far less. Yeah, I guarantee you the upper decks won't be available.
Right.
And it's going to be set up for 2,500 maybe?
25 to 3. Yep, I agree.
Kind of like the Dollar Loan Center. It's set up for 5,000 and they cut out 70% of it. It was only set up for 1,500 and they couldn't sell that out. So they better make sure that they're doing well on the TV product. Because if that 500,000 then all of a sudden became 200,000, because remember that 500,000 used to be 800,000 or 900,000. That was the thing. They were going, they were, you know, hey, we beat NXT.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's like me saying, you know, we beat the AAA affiliate, yet we're supposed to be the major leagues.
Right. Yep.
You know, hey, we drew better than the team was playing at Cashman Field. Well,
now, and what's even more interesting is TNA's announcement that April 17th, they're running the Cox. They're running UNLV. Cox Pavilion,
yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's fascinating. Again, you just said it. Using the momentum when wrestling is hot, even TNA now working with TKO and getting this working opportunity with WWE, they're able to now come into WrestleMania weekend. And most likely, we're probably going to, because we saw, you know, an NXT's pay-per-view or PLE, you know, Santino Morello show up and him and Ava talking about a working relationship going forward. So it sounds like, you know, when we have TNA in town April 17th, and then you have NXT do their show on that Saturday.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I wonder if the Hardys are going to be in Vegas.
Well, obviously, now they are.
I'm not talking about for my stuff, but what I'm talking about is they're going to be in Vegas on Thursday. Yeah. You're going to tell me that they're not going to want to take advantage of a WrestleMania Hardy's pop?
That's, you know, at the very least, you would assume that that NXT show on that Saturday morning would get the Hardys. But I think you're right.
Yes, that NXT. The Hardys are going to be on the main show. They got to be on the main show. Nobody cares if they're on NXT. Come on.
Hey, man. Are you kidding me?
And TNA, they do, and that's the difference. It's like AEW usually runs Ring of Honor, because when I was talking with Cage about stuff, he wasn't sure what he would be able to do because he figured they'd be running Ring of Honor. There hasn't been any announcement and there hasn't been any talk.
Oh, it's done. It's there's no they're not running it here, at least. They will not.
So they're staying far away from the WWE stuff, but it's like TNA is gonna piggyback because WWE is gonna tell you, hey, our good buddies TNA, go check out the meet and greet with Matt and Jeff Hardy that will sell shit tons.
Right. And now, I was going to say, on top of it, the other rumor, and I don't know if it was confirmed, but apparently, not only did they not want to do ROH, that Tony has told younger, talented wrestlers on his roster, they cannot work any independent shows WrestleMania weekend in Vegas.
That was a rumor. Again, I talked to some people in there, and they got some tenure, I guess.
Sure.
But I was told that they weren't told that. Now, whether the lower-end guys were, I do not know. Because you got to remember something. Mania is on a Saturday and a Sunday.
Right.
Well, AEW is probably filming on the Wednesday and the Saturday or Friday, whichever day it is. Is it Friday or Saturday?
Saturday for Collision, yeah.
Yeah. So, because they got rid of the Friday one, right? Which was Rampage, I believe. So, yeah. So, Wednesday and Saturday. So, not a lot of options, I guess, Thursday and Friday. But I've seen a lot of shows, and I'll be honest, I haven't noticed. Like, I saw one show that was going to have Wardlow on it, but I'm pretty sure, you know, he's kind of okay to do whatever because I'm not sure he's doing anything else.
Right.
But, like, Bloodsport's going to be here. Now, Jon Moxley usually fights at Bloodsport.
Right.
And Jon Moxley's a guy who can do whatever the fuck Jon Moxley wants to do. If he wants to be on Bloodsport, if he wants to work GCW, from what I understand, his contract states, he does. As when he did Natural Born Killers, he said, yeah. And that was when he was first signed to AEW. He's like, I can do whatever I want. So that's why he was able to go to Japan when he wanted. So, but yeah, I'm going to probably look a little more at it. But any contracted wrestlers from AEW, I haven't noticed at all on any of the WrestleMania announcements.
And it confuses me too, because let's take the Gates of Agony, right? Why would you not want those guys wrestling on three or four or five different shows out here that weekend so they can be announced to this crowd that's coming from around the world as the AEW tag, you know, former ROH tag
team? 1,000%. I felt the same way. We used to use Jungle Boy, and then Jungle Boy signed with AEW. But AEW only ran one show, and they were still waiting for the TV deal. But young Jungle Boy, who's probably 20 or 21 years old, was getting zero matches for a year.
Yep.
Instead of letting him wrestle continuously throughout the indies to make him better, make him get more experience so he would be ready when they kicked the deal off. And it was mind-boggling to me that he wasn't able to. Because I remember I hit him up because he was in the group with, I guess, Luchasaurus and I believe it was Marco Stunt.
Right.
Yep. And there was a show in like Washington State. And whatever they were called, the something Jurassic Express or whatever it was. So it was like Jurassic Express coming to, maybe it was Defy. I don't even know. Before they even had the relationship that they got. So I hit him up. I'm like, hey, bro, you're able to do independent rest shows? He's like, nah, man, it was like Luchasaurus can and the other guy can, but I'm not allowed to. I'm like, well, that's kind of fucked up. It's like, it ain't like you're doing anything. Like, why wouldn't you let this guy work a Chris Bay or all these guys that were on the independents and have some good matches like he did with us before? And, you know, it's a shame. And again, I get the spitefulness, but it isn't like these guys are wrestling a WWE-based show.
Right.
It's like, wow, these guys who aren't getting paid a ton of money, a guy like Tarwa, who's probably getting paid per appearance, so if he's not appearing, he's not being paid, now can't drive 4 hours to Vegas and get booked on four shows.
It's
like you're taking money out of my mouths, my family's mouths, because you're mad about something. Well, you got all the money in the world. I don't. I don't got all the money in the world. Are you going to pay me for my missed bookings? Because I see the spoilers. I see the stuff. And there's plenty of times Toe is not on the show.
No.
You know, at least with TNA, you either got a guaranteed contract, you're being paid, or you're being paid per show, and you do whatever the fuck you want. You don't have to ask if it's okay. Hey, Brian, I need you to work this show, blah, blah, blah. We're doing a Mecca. Okay, let me call it in. Let me make sure it's okay. Right. But at least Brian's in a different situation. He's got a guaranteed contract. Right. I get it. Because if he gets hurt, what the fuck?
Right. And let's, you know, let's also, you know, again, let's reiterate too, from our perspective of being friends with a lot of these guys, the best thing that AEW represents is the fact that these guys are making money for their families, and thank you for paying these guys. That's awesome. But the pettiness, and like I said, especially, man, you got people who, if you're coming in from Australia, well, they were just in Australia, but let's say, you know, you're coming in from Germany, you don't get to see AEW wrestlers, you know, very often, maybe not at all, if they haven't been there, why would you not want to have some of those people who are a little, you know, or maybe not getting utilized, who need some more seasoning that you know, might have just signed recently, like Viva Van, let's say. Why would you not want Viva Van wrestling on some of the...
Now she's an AEW wrestler, and I barely have seen her.
And it's like, expose them to those people who want to go, oh, wow. And then we'll go back and tell their friends, hey, when I was, you know, in wrestling, I got to see, you know, Viva Van, AEW. And like, I didn't even know she signed an AEW. That kind of buzz is what helps that promote your product to that, you know, to even if it's a growing your base by, you know, a few hundred people, a few hundred more people, 1,000 more people. That's how you do it. And that's what just staggers me is, why has it ever become us versus them when it should be, hey, these guys are the top. We're not going to touch them. It was the same thing when Bischoff and Hogan came in TNA, and it was like, oh yeah, we're going to challenge WWE, blah, blah, blah. Why? Utilize the popularity of their company to then promote pro wrestling, promote your company, and go like, hey, we have some of those guys. We have guys who wanted to be here, and sell yourself as you know, not as this product of like, well, we're the alternative to them, even though we have 30 guys on a roster who were there. You know, it's frustrating, especially when you talk about the opportunities that get missed. And speaking of opportunities, I'm going to play this, Joe, and then I want your reaction from when you saw that. I mean, Bay walking, like, and everything he wrote that went along with that video, man, you.
Well, obviously it was a great moment, but I saw that 3 weeks ago when he was at the school and he walked over to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was, I didn't realize it was his birthday till I saw that it was his birthday. I didn't realize the post was made till I went on Twitter. And because when he's, when I was talking with him, he told me that, he's not going to post anything till he's able to walk on his own without a walker.
Right.
And he'd actually been doing it for a little while because he was in the wheelchair. And then it was like, oh, I scrapped the wheelchair. Fuck that. And then he had the walker. But the walker was against the ring post, and he was standing there on the other side of the thing. And then I'm like, hey, we might do the show at the Hard Rock Cafe. Let me show you because they have the 3D rendering. And he walked into the office. I'm like, look at you. What the fuck? Like, the progress in such, like, 2 months, nothing. And then in a month and a half, it's just been incredible. So, it obviously it was great to see. A lot of people had no knowledge, you know. And everybody did their part in, trying not to put out information to the masses. Obviously, I told some people that are friends of Chris. They don't want to burden him. How many messages does the guy get? His hands aren't working great. Like, so he's not texting everybody back and all this other stuff. So it's like, the fact of the matter is I saw it and I'm like, oh, wow, man, he's got a lot of, it was like 300,000 views in like 45 minutes. And it was like, 1.3 million, and it was like 2 million. I'm like, holy fuck, I wish he would have tagged FSW on those 2.6 million views. Hey, don't forget about the benefit, Joe. Give me that little rub. But yeah, it's just amazing to see. And the people that have reached out, you go look at the likes, or you go look at the reposts, and it's like a who's who of the wrestling community. And it goes to show you, it's like, here's a guy who's in TNA, wasn't in WWE for 8 years.
Yeah.
But he has made an impact on a lot of people that maybe know him in passing, know him through somebody else. But everything is kind of the same. One of the nicest guys. And... Yep. And like I said, this business is fucking cruel at times. A lot of fucking pieces of shit. But there's a lot of great people. And those great people, get overshadowed, as they like to say, by the, I like to call them the moral minority. It's the mass minority. Because they're the ones with the biggest mouths. And they have the most shit to say. When you're doing things the right way, you don't have to go around and brag about it. People who don't know Lance Hoyt, I tell everybody, man, that's like the nicest motherfucker I've ever met. Like, not the nicest wrestler, I'm saying person. And there's people that are like that. But you don't know that because if you don't know him, you don't know. You just see him, this big, mean dude yelling at a little kid at the show, whatever, you know. But as a human being, and there's a lot of great human beings, you just don't know what people do to help other people, things like that, because they just do it. They don't do it to say, hey, everybody, I just donated $100,000 for this. No, they just do it. They can afford it. They do something. How can we help? How can they help?
Right.
You know, and even for this show, you know, everybody's reaching out. Fans who haven't come to shows, maybe they're not even like into wrestling as much, want to give money to come to the show because when they first started or they used to come when Chris first started and he was nice to them and he took a picture and it wasn't like, hey, I'm in TNA now. You know, that's 10 bucks. That's 20 bucks. You know, he always has time to talk to somebody. He always has time to listen to somebody. You know, there's plenty of fans and, you know, they got things going on in their lives. And, you know, it means a lot when one of the wrestlers reaches out to them. Hey, it's going to be okay. I understand your mental health issues. I understand your depression. I understand. I've been in this position.
Right.
And it's like a role model to them. So it means a lot more than your friend saying, oh, it's going to be okay. But when Chris Bay says it, or this person says it, or that person says it. So it's great that when, you know, we can do something for somebody that, you know, people get behind it and do anything they can to help. So,
yeah. And for anyone listening and not watching, again, some of the names that are going to be on the show on March 23rd for the benefit. Rich Swann, Danny Limelight, Sam Adonis, John Morrison, Shane Strickland, Trey Miguel, Rhino, Brian Cage, Ace Austin, Kenny King, Alex Zane, Ice Williams, Brooke Havoc, Brittany Brooks, Rich Knox, Melissa Santos, and more.
Zachary Wentz.
Zachary Wentz. Yep.
To appear. Or chose to appear. Didn't get signed to appear.
Right. You know, a certain WWE guy who...
Yes, we're still waiting. I messaged him today. I'm like, bro, what's up with your dude? He's supposed to send me some fucking paperwork so I can sign it and we can make the announcement. Fuck. Like, all our fans know who it is, pretty much. But basically, right. You know, you don't want to let the cat out of the bag. But today I saw Triple H announced that the WWE ID will have their own championship.
All right.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to have a men and women's title. Once I get off the with you, I'm going to send that text to Gabe. It says the tournament matches will be held at different independent wrestling promotions. Well, they better be happening at FSW, brother. Ice Williams needs that home field advantage. Jordan Oasis.
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, I mean, you know, depending on what the time frame is, you know, we'll see where the final matches are held, because wouldn't that be a great little tie-in to WrestleMania
weekend? Wow, what an idea if they did it on WrestleMania week.
Yeah.
Whoever thought of an idea like that?
I don't know.
Brother, I got to make this text soon.
Great minds think alike. I know. And, you know, and a shout out to, you know, speaking of people and giving respect to Bay, big shout out to Adam Pearce, who did his video of his Raw announcements and then revealed the Chris Bay shirt and sent out, a message in supporting Chris. Once again, you know, Adam is one of those guys who was in SoCal for, you know, as long as I can remember. And another one of those guys who's like Chris, just beloved by everyone. And pretty sure their paths crossed through Marquez when Chris was doing stuff for United Wrestling Network. So, you know, again, it's just great to see everyone giving the recognition and, you know, it's just words can't put into context how much it means to see, you know, the support that the wrestling community has, and the excitement about not only Chris, but now stuff like the WWE ID program, and you know, Ice and Jordan getting their chances to do things, and you know, having some of the matches that you've had so far with, you know, the branding of WWE ID.
Gonna and tell then, Dave, if they need a wild card, put in Bodie.
Can Conan get him a fake ID from Mexico?
Well, I'm pretty sure exchange? He can.
Listen,
you know, you could be 14 to wrestle professionally there,
right?
Yeah, I got to hit up Conan. It's like, hey, why don't you use Bodie?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking. Like, you know, I think that would be nice little seasoning.
I gotta have to text Conan after this.
Yeah,
I could just name drop everybody. I got a text today.
I'll keep adding to your to do list.
WWE guy, a AAA guy, some TNA guys, an AEW guy. Texted Cage last night. Yeah, everybody.
And let's again mention No Escape Apocalypse. It's March 2nd at 5 p.m. Start time here at the Silverton. Of course, you can catch it on Triller if you're not in town. You know, people can hit you up for tickets, right?
Hit me up for tickets. You want to save some fees? Hit me up on Facebook. LVFutureStars@yahoo.com. Send me an email.
There we go. Also, if you're listening and you're wanting to do any kind of sponsorship for the benefit show, same thing. Reach out to Joe.
Yeah, maybe next week we could put the scroll with the Zelle information and say Venmo or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, final thoughts before we let everyone go this week.
You know, we got a lot of stuff going on. No Escape in 2 weeks. Everybody loves a steel cage match, so we're going to give you three of them, as well as the doors, ladders, and chairs. So it's going to be an exciting show, you know, from top to bottom. You might want to get there early. You know, probably give some of the younger guys an opportunity in what we're now calling the kickoff match to start things off. But we'll be on Triller. Should have a great audience for that. And, you know, looking forward to a big show. You know, next week's the last, you know, this rest of this week is the last time I have not a lot to do compared to other things. But working on meetings, talking to different people, you know. So hopefully you'll see us on Fox 5 real soon. They were at the show, one of the guys from there. And it looks like they're going to be doing a story about Chris and the benefit show coming up before their event. They're also going to be there live covering the stuff. So, hey, maybe they'll do some cut-ins during, you know, the news or whatever. Who knows? But, yeah, we're excited, man. It's like it's going to be a big show. Chris is doing great, improving every day. And, you know, this is hopefully going to be the biggest show you've ever been to at FSW.
There you go, everyone. Again, you know, it's March 2nd for No Escape. And the 23rd for the benefit show, and then going almost, you know, right into those like what, 4 weeks into WrestleMania then. So it's a lot coming up here in a short amount of period of time, but you know, thankfully Joe's doing the work for everyone, so we don't have to do it, right? We
can just, you know, enjoy. That's why people like working with me. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I don't care.
Well, just wait. If you let that get out too much, I'm sure Brian Cage will have you wrestle for him. And
nah, he actually, that's the one thing he does like. So it's like, hey, yeah, you know.
That's true.
But I have to make sure he wrestles somebody that he wants to wrestle.
Right.
So, you know, if you wanted to come out of retirement, he'd have no fucking interest in wrestling you.
No, no. But I probably would gladly allow him to warm up on me in the ring to, you know, just.
Hey, he's big enough. He'll stalling suplex you for 5 minutes if he wants.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
See, to all the people who say I don't know any moves, okay?
Yeah. It's one of the five.
Yes.
There we go. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And again, check out FSW on social media. Follow on Facebook. And check out all the latest news. Joe's had it to post. Until next time, we'll see you guys later.